translation. As you said, my life hearing the instructions you've kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled. Purport by Jill Goldhart. This chapter reveals Krishna as the cause of all causes. He is even the cause of the Mahavishnu, from whom the material universes emanate. Krishna is not an incarnation. Rather, he is the source of all incarnations. That's been completely explained in the previous chapter. Now, as far as Arjuna is concerned, he says that his illusion is over. This means that Arjuna no longer thinks of Krishna as a mere human being, as a friend of his, but as the source of everything. Arjuna is very enlightened and is glad that he has such a great friend as Krishna. But now he is thinking that although he may accept Krishna as the source of everything, others may not. So, in order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form. Actually, when one sees the universal form of Krishna, one becomes frightened, like Arjuna. But Krishna is so kind that after showing it, he converts himself again into his original form. Arjuna agrees to what Krishna has several times said, that Krishna is speaking to him just for his benefit. So Arjuna acknowledges that all this is happening to him by Krishna's grace. He is now convinced that Krishna is the cause of all causes and is present in everyone's heart as the Supersoul.
Just take one time, we need to finish.
Tuesday. is the 25th, celebrated as Christmas, and His Holiness Krishnadaswami Maharaj, as far as I'm aware, will be holding a program here in honor of the occasion. And then the following Sunday will be the last Sunday program for this year. And then the following day, the 31st, we'll be having our special New Year's Eve festival at New Jagannathapuri, our Phoenix temple. You are all invited. It has become a type of tradition. That was a very nice verse and good point here. We all know, at least those of us that are familiar with Bhagavad Gita, we know that at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was extremely perplexed because he was faced with a very difficult situation. As they say, I believe, a hectic type of situation. It was really hectic in the extreme. This word hectic has been adopted and sort of means something different to what it used to when I was young. But anyway, that's okay. So a very dramatic situation, that's for sure. Arjuna was faced with, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the prospect of having to fight against many close relatives and close associates, and it was a very traumatic situation. So therefore, as we know, at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna appealed, Arjuna appealed to Lord Krishna, that I don't want to fight for various reasons. He gave various reasons, and they have some merit. They have some merit in and of themselves, on the material platform particularly. They have some merit. But Lord Krishna did not take them seriously on the spiritual platform. In fact, Lord Krishna very strongly rejected those reasons and argued against them. Here in Bhagavad Gita, this is what Lord Krishna is doing, arguing against those objections of Arjuna. So, eventually, well, right at this point here, Arjuna tells Lord Krishna, "Now I am convinced. Thank you very much. Now I accept what you say, and I will do what you say." In other words, I will fight in this battle. All my illusions have been dispelled. So here in purport, Srila Prabhupada is making the point that Arjuna is about to request Krishna to show the universal form. Arjuna is already convinced that Krishna is God. But he's not just thinking of himself. He's also thinking of... He's thinking of us, actually. He was thinking of Chatsworth, Hare Krishna Temple, 23rd of December 2007. Some of us may be sitting here thinking, well, maybe I'll think about it, Krishna, and get back to you. We may not be totally convinced, although Arjuna, for himself, is completely convinced. But he is not simply a self-centered person. Generally, people are like that. self-centered. And perhaps to some degree they're not entirely self-centered. They think of others sometimes. They think of their family or their friends or the people at work. Different people like this. But why do they think of those people? Because those people are connected with them. They're their people. And therefore they think about them with some interest. So in other words, it is still really just another version or just a different way of the same type of phenomenon existing, and that is that it's self-centered, my people. Why are they important? Because they are my people, because they give me pleasure, they're important to me. The government, why is the government important? Because they may do something which affects me. To a large extent, life on the material platform is going on in this way. But a person who's spiritually advanced can see beyond just I, me, and mine, and sees everything in relation with Krishna. This is what Arjuna would like to bring everybody to the point of. He's not just getting, okay, I've got it, I understand, thank you, fine, that's enough. No, he's concerned. This is all extremely important, but there's so many people in Chancellor or wherever it may be in the material world. There's so many people they don't understand. How are we going to get this through to them? So he has a broad perspective. He's concerned about everything. Interested. Not just interested, but sincerely concerned. How is everyone? How can we help everyone? This is because his consciousness is broader, not just that narrow self-consciousness, that God matters if he does something for me. If he doesn't do something for me, then maybe I'll reject him. Now you may have heard one of our latest little stories about the devotee who was driving around Chatsworth. Did you hear that story? Trying to find a parking place. You hear that story? Parking place story. He was driving around. He had an appointment somewhere. Important appointment somewhere in Chatsworth. And he's driving around trying to find a parking place, but he couldn't find a parking place. So he prayed to Krishna, Krishna, please give me a parking place. I have this appointment. It is important. But there was no parking place. So then he prayed more to Krishna. Krishna, please give me a parking place. I promise I will chant my rounds every day. Even on the bad days, even on the busy days, even on the days when Bollywood is on. Not Kuch Kuch, but I think we know. What's it? Om Shanti Om. Even then, I will close my eyes and chant. Just give me a parking place, Krishna. But there was no parking place. So then he prayed again, Krishna, please give me a parking place, won't you? He said, he thought, you give me a parking place, I will follow every courtesy, everyone. Just give me a parking place, not just some of them. I'll follow Krishna, please give me a bragging place. I will only read Prabhupada's books. I will never watch Hollywood again. No, Arjuna Chile. No. I will only read Prabhupada's books. Please just give me a parking place. Oh, no parking place. Then so they carried her on a little further along, and then suddenly there was a parking place. And he pulled into the parking place. As he did, he thought, it's okay, Krishna, don't worry, I found a parking place. So you see, God is very important when I need him. But when I don't, it's okay. See you later. So we tend to be acting selfish. And it all depends on us. Everything depends on us in our world. But the devotee has a much broader perspective. And the devotee, as we said, feels some real, sincere concern. How are you? Not just, how are you? As a typical sort of, ritual. It's a ritual, isn't it? When we meet, how are you? It's just a ritual. Anyway, maybe it's not entirely for everyone, but it's definitely a formality more than anything. But the advanced devotee feels real concern, very serious interest in the well-being of other living entities. And Arjuna is feeling like that. And therefore he's thinking, all right, Krishna, we have reached the end of the 10th chapter, Arjuna may have thought. We have reached the end of the 10th chapter. I am convinced, okay, that's enough. I am convinced, I will fight. So Krishna, you can finish Bhagavad Gita here. We will save you the trouble of speaking the last 6 chapters, because I am convinced. But Arjuna was not thinking like that. Arjuna was concerned. Not everyone may feel like me. So what to do? How to help them? So he thought of different things, different questions, different important issues, which, if Krishna gave more information, it would help the people. Like, this chapter is the chapter called The Universal Form. Arjuna is about to request Krishna, please show me how you pervaded everything. He already accepted it very deeply. He was convinced, yes, you are everywhere, definitely. But he's thinking, some others, they may not be able to digest that. So how to help them? Yes, if Krishna shows that form, then some of those people at least, then they may understand, oh yes, look at that. But he didn't need for himself. Because he was already not just convinced intellectually, sort of academically, but he was already seeing Krishna everywhere. And this is why he was feeling that sincere concern, because he was Krishna conscious and not just Arjuna conscious, not just me conscious. Because he was fully Krishna conscious, he had real concern for everybody else, and he wanted to do something to help. Just like, there's one little example we give sometimes to illustrate this principle, the principle of seeing Krishna everywhere, in my life, in your life, in their life, even in the animals' lives. Seeing Krishna everywhere, and because the devotee loves Krishna, then because the devotee is seeing Krishna everywhere, and seeing Krishna in everything, therefore the devotee naturally feels the sincere interest in everything. Because it's all Krishna's, and he loves Krishna. And therefore anything which belongs to Krishna, he has a real interest in. So, anyway, a good example is given that every day Lord Krishna goes out to herd the cows. Every day. And that means every day Mother Yashoda is left on her own, at home. No Krishna for the whole day. Somehow she has to get through the whole day in separation from the Lord, who she loves so much, and for her really, that separation is extremely painful. It's a very, very amazing experience for her to lose the company of Krishna, even for a few hours. So, Mother Yashoda then, Mother Yashoda, doing her household duties, cleaning up perhaps. She's cleaning up. And then what does she see? She sees Krishna's shoe. She sees Krishna's shoe. Now, of course, she's already remembering Krishna. She never forgets Krishna. She cannot forget Krishna. Even if she tried, and she was certainly not trying it, she's fully in Krishna conscious. But still, when she sees Krishna's shoe, then that remembrance, oh, it becomes much more powerful. That reminder makes the remembrance so much deeper. Oh, this is Krishna's shoe. And she may pick up that shoe and hold it to her heart. Because of this Krishna's shoe. And she may cry some tears. Because her already deep remembrance of Krishna has just been deepened by that experience. So, it is not... What was it that caused that upsurge of emotions? It was the shoe. Now, of course, it is not that Mother Yashoda is simply especially fond of shoes in general. So whenever Mother Yashoda sees a shoe, any shoe, then, it's a shoe. And she becomes overwhelmed. No, the shoe is not the point. The point is Krishna. It is Krishna's shoe. She says she sees other shoes, no doubt. And they're just regular shoes for this. But she sees Krishna's shoe. Ah, in effect, she sees Krishna. And she reacts in terms of Krishna. So like this, when a devotee comes to the point, or as the devotee things, or people, living beings. The whole world is Krishna's world. So the devotee feels very concerned that the world is not abused because it's Krishna's world. So this is Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people talk about universal love and all that sort of thing. But how are we going to achieve that when we are in self-consciousness? When we really, our actual interest is really only in ourselves. Then we will develop love in terms of things connected with ourselves, which gives something to ourselves. We will develop some attachment to those things in those terms. But when we develop love for Krishna, and we see this is Krishna's tree, for example, then we will not tolerate that tree is just cut down. In fact, we are telling a little story. This morning in Peter Maritzburg, if you go to the Bombay, our ISKCON Bombay Temple in Juru, Mumbai, you will see as you go in the entranceway of the public road, you'll see quite a big driveway of space for two vehicles. But in the middle is a tree, and the driveway goes around the tree. So, what happened was, and it's a very mature tree, it's been there for many years. What happened was, the devotees were designing the temple. Prabhupada was checking from time to time. And then they would carry on with the design work. So they came at one point with the layout plans of the whole property. And they showed all that, the building, this building will be here, that building will be there, the road will be here. And Prabhupada saw the road. It was going right where the tree was. And but in the plan, there was a tree. And Prabhupada asked, where's the tree? And the devotee said, it's a bit of a long story, but the devotee said, the city authorities, the town council, they said we have to make a road this size, it has to come straight in. This is the only place. So we're going to cut down the tree. The road. And Prabhupada said, no. You make the road go around the tree. And the devotee said, we don't know if the city council will accept it. And Prabhupada said, no. You tell them that it is against our religion to cut down trees. So they did that. And after a bit of back and forth, the city council agreed. And if you go there, or when you go there, hopefully, you will see the tree is still there today. And we're talking about more than 20 years ago. Actually, we're talking about 30 years ago. It was the mid-70s this was happening. So Sri Prabhupada saved that tree. And again, it is not just that Prabhupada is a save the tree man. Save the whales. I don't know if I ever saw a whale, but I've seen many trees. Why not save the trees? So again, it's not that Prabhupada is just tree conscious, but it's Krishna's tree. It's Krishna's tree. So therefore, he feels sincere concern, real interest. So yes, similarly, Arjuna is feeling that real interest, how to help the people. And therefore, even though he doesn't need Shri Radha King. So let us develop love for Krishna like Arjuna, and then we will also have that sincere feeling for all the entities, for the whole world. And in this way we can develop universal love and broaden our consciousness and get out of this I, me, mine, all these calculations, selfish calculations that people are generally absorbed in. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.